The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome in, everybody. Thanks for listening to All Pro Lines, the podcast. I'm, of course, your host. My name's Kostaki Economopoulos, and that was me cracking a beer. It's been a long day for me, and I'm just kind of shifting gears, and I'm going to try not to bring too much of my angst to the table here. Coming off, actually, a really nice weekend of things, so I'm also grateful and spoiled as well. We've got a lot of fun things to talk to you guys about, wrapping up week four, the week that was in the NFL, with my guest, Andreas Economopoulos. No relation. We'll have him on here in just a few minutes after 47 Falcons jokes. That seems rude. I mean, it is his team too. But that's what happened this week. So that's what we wrote about. Thanks for being here. Let's check the comments. Let's see who's here. Heather, Jerry, Ron, John Riggs. Nice. Nice to see these names. I very much appreciate all you guys. Ryan Chambers. Oh, it's like a who's who of the go-to. All we're missing is Jerry. Where's Jerry? Oh, Jerry's here. Jerry's the first one I read. Okay. Very happy to see you guys. Thanks for being here. And Marge Economopoulos. No relation. good to see you, Mama. All right. Let me first tell you about the weekend that was. For me, I went to the Pacific Northwest, and it was amazing. It was so cool. It was a long drive, but I love driving and not going to the airport and airport security and hanging out in the crammed gates with all the humans and then boarding a plane. And then there's a delay and then there's a thing and you got to go there when they want you to be there and you get a book of time that sucks so you can save $200. And I love driving to gigs. It's a long drive. I took the kids to school on Thursday morning. And shifted gears and got a car and drove north. And eventually I got to Oregon. It's pretty far, turns out. I did the must-do picture. Weed, next three exits. Ha-ha! Weed is a little town in Northern California. You got to take that picture. The gigs are great, man. I did a little winery. I did a gritty band bar in Oregon. I did a casino in Redding. And then I did a theater, a little community theater on Sunday in Chico. And all I got to say, all four of the shows were great. And I got to run around with a friend and play a little poker. And I did some beer drinking and was a little indulgent on the food eating and working on my act and not worrying about saying fuck because I was done talking to Mormons. And it was cool. I really enjoyed myself. It was really great. So here's the pitfall. I'm going to try to keep it super brief, but I do feel like I need to tell you this story. So I'm in Oregon, finish the show, go to start the car. Car won't start. Going through YouTube videos to see what's Nissan Altima. There's a glitch with the key. What do you do? Trying to figure out what to do. Realize I can't fix it. Call the rental car company. They go, try it now. And I tried it and it started right away. They turned off my car. Have you ever even heard of that? And I like, they said, you're in a restricted area. And I was like, what do you mean by restricted area? Turns out you're not allowed to leave the state of California on their. That's their policy. It's California or Nevada. I didn't know that. It's not on the thing when I booked it at Orbitz. It's not at the desk. It's not on the contract. It's not anywhere it's possible for me to know that. I rented a fucking car so I could go to Oregon. If they had told me that was the deal, I wouldn't have gone there. So not only did they spy on me in some creepy thing and turn my car off with no warning, they didn't go, hey, you're in a restricted area where you're going to have to talk to us. They just turned it off. Oh, I hate them so much. 24/7 rental car company in Hollywood. Fuck them. Guess what the penalty fee is for crossing a state line with 24/7 rental car company? Mind you, the rental car fee is $28 a day. The total for 5 days was like $170. But if you go to Oregon for 20 minutes, it's $1,500. That's the fee they charge you. So I spent the next couple of days trying to get in touch with them. Now they were communicative before, but once they charged me with this crazy fee, no communication. They won't answer. Nobody talked to them. You can't. They won't return texts. They won't return emails. I commiserated with the dude, and when I dropped the car off today and I've been in my dealings with them, I've come to realize this is not a regular rental car company. This is a company that makes a little bit of money with rental cars and makes a lot of money fucking people on the small print. They charge you $500 per rim for scratches on your rims. The guy that it was in the lobby today, the car stopped working. It had a battery problem and he had to call roadside assistance and they charged him $500 for that, for giving him a car that didn't run. And in the small print, it's in the contract. I actually have a contract that doesn't mention the thing that they charge me for. So I think I can win small claims court if that's what I have to do, but I'm not sure what the actionable intelligence is for you listeners, but be careful out there, man, especially these fly-by-night rental car companies, because they don't have a national brand to protect and they don't give a fuck if I go on and talk to my 100,000 social media followers and tell them they're monsters. Hertz would care. Avis would care. You know what I mean? Enterprise cares about that kind of thing. But with these little, I'm so angry. All right, I'm shifting gears. We're here to have fun. Life is challenging and beautiful and wonderful, and that's where we are. All right. Andy Merriman says, need a lawyer. Yeah, I do, Andy. I need a Michigan lawyer to help me. That's funny. So anyway, let's do some jokes. I got to shift gears here. I should drink more beer. And I got to tell you, drinking beer is great. Have you had
the
beer?
2 minute drill.
Have you had the mango cart? It's one of the great things. I think I've discovered that wheat beers are amazing. I don't know. That's not really a secret, but you know, like there's a pineapple wheat beer and there was a peach wheat beer I found in Colorado. And there's something about wheat. Like this is mango wheat. It's a sweet wheat. So it's like a blue moon with a little mango twist. Like that's a great universe of beers. That's maybe underrated. All right. I already did the joke. Let's do the jokes. Did I mention that we're doing jokes? After suffering cardiac arrest last season, Damar Hamlin is back in NFL action this weekend. That's a great story. I'm looking forward to the Falcons returning to NFL action too. I think that would be delightful. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring in Andreas Economopoulos. Hey buddy.
How we doing?
I'm pissed and I'm trying to get over it. Can you be here for the Falcons jokes? It only seems fair that we survived them together.
Wait, are we gonna do these 24/7?
Motherfuckers. Oh, I hate them so much. It's a scam. Like I'm actually surprised that this kind of thing doesn't happen more often. It feels like a third world country kind of a dynamic. Where they don't even really care about the thing, but there's like some little side angle of screwing over the customer that's profitable.
I shouldn't have said anything. Let's go to the jokes.
Oh, I'm so mad. All right. The Falcons lost 23-7 in London. Kickoff was at 6:30 a.m. Pacific time. Here was the good news. My team lost before I even woke up, so that was good. I could just move on. The early bird gets the ass kicking. It's easy for the Falcons to get through security because they don't travel with any offensive weapons. You see? Huh? They wore all white, which is, of course, internationally recognized as a surrender. The Euro did better in England than the Falcons. I've never been a big fan of the English breakfast, and the Falcons served up bangers and trash. London has a great Ferris wheel. It's called the Eye. Even that couldn't watch the Falcons game. Hey, Falcons, at least it's not a long trip home. So that's good. Maybe on the plane you could watch an Eagles game and get some ideas. The Eagles are, of course, a running team, and they have running backs named Gainwell and Swift. It's pretty on the nose. Meanwhile, the Falcons' O-line has players named Can't Block and False Start. All right. These are jokes, everybody. Taylor Swift is more relevant to the NFL than the Falcons. Jesus. By the way, Taylor Swift has benefited from the rumors, right, with Taylor, right? Travis Kelce has benefited. His jersey sales went up 400% this week. He gained 300,000 Instagram followers in a few days. I just want to say right here, I can neither confirm nor deny that I am dating Taylor Swift. I'm not. I can't say one way or the other. You'll have to. The Falcons look terrible, man. I saw some of the highlights. It was a shameful performance. And on Jimmy Carter's birthday, no less. Jimmy Carter turned 99. He's got a better chance than the Falcons of being relevant in January. The Falcons might just ruin the Toy Story franchise. Did you see this thing with the little animators or whatever? It's such a great... It was a cool idea. I don't know who watches it or to what end, but it's an interesting idea. They did a live version of the game in quasi animation set in Andy's room from Toy Story. I would like to send Ritter to infinity and beyond, actually. I would happily trade Ritter for Mr. Potato Head. And then later I saw an ad, with NFL Plus Premium, you can rewatch Jaguars Falcons. That marketer should be fired immediately. And he should be in an unemployment line with Desmond Ritter. There's only two undefeated teams now. We got Eagles and Niners. And the two completely defeated teams are Bears and Panthers. The Bears are moving to the Chicago suburbs, but at their current yardage rate, they're expected to arrive in 2050. They're not good. The Panthers are on track to have more O's than Economopolis. And actually, that could happen here in the next couple of weeks. All right, one last joke. Patriots quarterback Mac Jones has got to learn to throw balls away, like Caitlyn Jenner. Hey, everybody. All right. Those are jokes. I'm in a better mood already. Hey, bro, good to see you, man.
Yeah, likewise. That was painful. We watched every it was Aiden's birthday yesterday, so we got up and watched every snap, and I was watching all the pregame stuff leading up to it, all the pictures online about the they played in Wembley Stadium when we went 2 years ago. They were up in Tottenham. But they had like this giant Falcons following with a hotel. It was all different this time around. I was jealous up until one quarter into the game, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so glad we didn't go over there." It's awful.
I would love to go. That sounds like something that would be really fun to do someday. But, you know, they're going to do these international games fairly often now. So every few years, your team's going to be playing somewhere overseas.
Somewhere. And Atlanta has this some kind of marketing deal with Germany. So this is the test case this year with the German, I guess it's the Chiefs playing over there. And I imagine next year, the year following, probably be a Falcons Germany sighting, if I had to guess.
Right. Oh, that'd be great. I would love to go. And now you've got every reason to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Have a bone marrow donor sitting there waiting. So,
yeah, for those of you who don't know this story, I actually closed on this story in the new Dry Bar taping. I can't believe that's going to make the pass for them. It was a little edgy. Closed on a cancer Hitler joke. Okay. But it's the joke about you, and it's, you know, you have a donor who matched two of 16 million people? Mm-hmm,
correct, yep.
It's a crazy story, man. And one of them was named Jürgen in Germany, and he donated his marrow that you got, and it ultimately saved your life. I mean, it's a beautiful story. And then you can each, like, check a box that you would like to know who the other person is, and if you both do...
Yes, he. The donors typically want to know, but what happens with the process? And I don't know if mine was just because it's Be the Match, but their process is you're not allowed to know anything for 2 full years because they feel like you're kind of out of the window of instant or potential instant death at that point. So they don't want the donors finding out who they give the marrow to. And then, you know, you start writing letters and the person dies because the mortality rate's still really high up until a certain time. So on the, literally on the 2-year anniversary of the actual bone marrow transplant, my transplant coordinator sent me this PDF, and I was sitting at work, and she goes, "Hey, Mr. Konopoulos, I know you've been wanting to see this because I was asking all these questions," and she knew wasn't allowed to disclose. But somehow I had an idea. It might've been a German. We were talking about the numbers. There's out of the 16 million, there were 5 million were Germans at the time. And this is, you know, 2014. So I'm sure that registry's grown. But it opened up the PDF, and it was Jürgen's street address in a town I've never heard of. It's a little itty bitty town, and an email address, AOL email address. So I opened up my email, started writing this very long email, put it in Google Translate in German, which was a, "Hey, you don't know me, you saved my life," you know, and waited after I sent the email. And a few days later, he wrote back, which was super cool seeing his name pop up. And then the very last line was, "Don't put it into Google Translate. It does a terrible job." Because it can literally click a button and it goes from this long English email to, you know, "Eins inviten, dreiten, I need my,"
right.
You know, it's like, so, and he led me to believe before we met him that his English wasn't great. And it was, you know, we're hanging out like friends. His English is great. So
yeah, anyway. Germans generally have very good English. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So we keep up. I mean, we swapped emails. In fact, his daughter and Anna are now pen pals. So they write letters back and forth, and his oldest daughter is practicing her English, and we're trying to get them to come over here for the World Cup because Atlanta is going to be a big host city in 26. So,
oh, right.
Yep. So we'll see if they can make it over here then. That would be a perfect setup. We're not only a host city, we're probably going to get some playoffs and could be all the way up to the semifinal. We're not sure yet.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But if the Falcons play in Germany, I want to go. That'd be fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I think we'd have to take a trip over there for sure.
Okay. That's a great story, man. It gives me chills just to hear you talk about it again. It's so cool.
Well, I was one quick story. We're in England. You know, Travis and Mark Beaver came with me, and we met up with Jürgen and his wife. Flew up from, it's a quick flight for them from Germany, and of course we have a cousin Artemis who's there, and she and her friend came out, and we were walking to this little pub, and my friend Mark is always skeptical about every place and kind of goes, "Hey, is this going to be a good place to go?" And it's kind of Southern accent. And without missing a beat, Artemis's friend in this British accent said, "This pub's been around longer than your country. Let's let's go try it out."
I love that.
And they had just met, and he kind of put his head down like in shame and just walked on.
That's great. Sure. That's great. All right, I'm looking at some of the comments here. Brad Venuti said, "Did Kostucky get up at 6:30 just to watch that stinker?" No, it didn't.
It was brutal. It was brutal. So today, Arthur Smith came out and said he's sticking with Dez. So
what the fuck?
There are some really unhappy fans. Well, the school of thought is because, okay, so we know he's not the future. I think we know that, right?
Okay. We know that. And we would have known this last year if they just played him when they should have.
Correct.
Or, that would have been good to know.
Yes. Or give him more time in the preseason. But okay. At this point, if you've hitched your wagon to him, right? He's got, we also know that Taylor Heinicke isn't the future long-term because he's not a starting quarterback. He had the chance to be, nobody signed him in the offseason to be a starting quarterback. So we're pretty aware that he is not a starting quarterback in the NFL long-term.
I think I'll buy that, but he's probably better than Ritter at this point.
Probably so at this point. What happens if you're the coach and you sit Ritter and then Heinicke stinks?
You just flip him back. Who cares? This is not Little League where we're worried about everybody's egos and playing time. Like, that's big boy sports. You sit down and we'll see how he does. And if he sucks more than you, you go back in. That's okay.
That's been a lot of the chatter. We've had all kinds of chatter here that we're trading for Kirk Cousins. It's been that plus the,
you know, Kyler Murray,
Justin Fields, before he popped off yesterday and had a good game, I'm sure, you know, because they have Carolina's pick. So if they wanted to deal Justin Fields, they could get Caleb Williams. You know, it's, we also don't know, like you're watching CJ Stroud look amazing and you're watching Bryce Young not look amazing. And they gave away a first round pick plus DJ Moore, you know, I mean, Dez is not going to be a star. I think we know that, but I still think we have to, hey, here's a fact that he still has. He's never lost at home in college or in the pros ever. And he was a 4-year starter in college.
That is an amazing stat.
So Sunday we host the Texans, which if you had asked me 5 weeks ago, I would have checked a little W by our name.
Right, and right.
That's an easy win. And now I don't think we're going to win the game, which we're actually favorites. We're 2.5-point favorites, which I found to be a little odd considering how bad we've looked, but you know, whatever. And then we have the Commanders the week after that. There's a chance in 2 weeks from now, he's still undefeated.
But this is, I mean, it's so infuriating. You know more Falcons than I do, but it's so infuriating to me because the reason that you get your shit straight with the salary cap is so that you can get a good quarterback. And the Falcons did that. And now this is the third year of Arthur Smith, and he had the ghost of Matt Ryan, and then he had Mariota, and then it's enough with the bad quarterback play. Something different.
But this was the first year not in salary cap hell, right? So they freed up. They spent $70 million on defense, and now our defense is actually good, which is the irony of having all those Matt Ryan years with a terrible defense, and now you have a pretty good defense with no quarterback. Yeah.
Right.
And the offensive line's not doing him any favors. He's literally watching like a bad golfer where he hits one good shot and you're like, oh, he actually made two throws yesterday. We're like, oh, he can play in the NFL. And then the rest of them, you're like, he's staring down the reads, holds the ball too long, doesn't look confident. And by the way, his combine was like, hey, this guy's an athletic guy. We're not running RPO. He doesn't run at all. Like the one thing Marcus Mariota, as bad as he was, when he decided to keep the ball, he was going fast downhill.
That's
the only skill he had. He couldn't throw.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, it's tough. Yeah, it's tough sledding. So I almost jumped on the Bengals bandwagon to join Barry, but then I realized they're 1-3. I almost joined Ron Milford on the Minnesota, but they're 1-3. There's nowhere to go.
But really, it's a serious Falcon question. If you were the king, what would you do? It is a difficult situation. I'm not blaming anybody for getting into a difficult situation. But from here, I am a little bit angry that they didn't let Ridder play last year. You knew the team wasn't going anywhere. Yeah. That's the whole reason that you got Mariota and have this set up. Like, let him play. Let him get better or let him show us that he's not the thing. We would know by now. Yeah. But that decision aside, we're here now. What do we do now? What would you do?
Okay, so last year the reason they didn't is because we were still one game out of the playoff hunt, which is crazy because the division was so bad. That went on all the way till those last four games. So this year I would give him till probably week 7 or 8. So we start him 3 or 4 more times. You see what you have. And if you're still, the division's still bad, right? The Saints have lost back-to-back games. The fact that Tampa is 3-1, probably unsustainable, although I can't believe Baker Mayfield actually looks pretty good, but they have weapons, you know, and they have a good defense. Yeah. So if you're one game back with 8 games in, and you realize Dez can't do it, you give Heineke the reins and see if you can make a wild card, which at this point you start seeing all of this happen. You're like, I'm skeptical. 2 weeks ago, I was like, but even the games they won, they could have easily lost those, right?
Right,
those,
that's you know, right.
And Dez actually threw what should have been picks then. The Green Bay guy dropped 2 of them right in his hands. So I don't know. That's just the thought process. But yeah, I think everybody knows at this point you go shopping and try to figure out. The problem is it's not like there are no good quarterbacks that you just, even if you have $150 million, whatever the number is, for X amount of years, like who was a free agent this year? Derek Carr and, Aaron Rodgers, which obviously that didn't work out very well. But
like, well, Yeah, but there are quarterbacks that are signing giant contracts. Oh, you mean because they're signing them while they're still signed? They're not really in the conversation, the Joe Burrows of the world.
Correct. Whatever. Right. So you have to, and then you're not going to get high enough. If you win 7 games this year, which is what you're looking like, you're the 13th pick. You don't get Caleb. You don't get Drake, the North Carolina kid.
Right, right.
I don't know. I mean,
Sanders. Get Sanders.
That, I mean, that would actually be cool because he's got, you know, he's obviously got some Atlanta ties as well. But put some butts in the seats. But anyway.
But what you've done now for 2 years is that you have guys who are clearly not NFL caliber starters. They're outside of the top 40 quarterbacks on the earth starting for your team. That's an unacceptable series of decisions that led to this situation, and we're stuck in it again. Like, you have to do something different. You have to go get a Kyler Murray
He went first overall. What would you have done 2 years ago when Matty was under contract and we had the Kyle picks? We picked Kyle Pitts fourth, but we still had Matty. This is before we went shopping for Deshaun. So what would you have taken a quarterback then and said, Matty, you got one more year and you're out?
I think that's a perfectly legitimate choice. Or to do something where you're leveraging a little bit and moving up and getting one of the huge names. I think that's something that this team, I don't remember them ever doing that. And I think that's a perfectly reasonable thing. Because what you're doing is you're giving up draft capital. But of course, if you nail it on a quarterback, it's so worth it.
Do you don't remember the name Mike Vick?
But hey, we had the number one pick overall. That was the natural pick because we were the worst team in the NFL.
No, we swapped it for LaDainian. It was an
Is that
LT.
Right?
Yeah, LT. We gave him. Yeah.
We gave them the pick that became LT, and we moved up. Oh, I forgot that. I thought it was legit. Okay, so we did do that. Well, why don't we do that? I mean, if you have the number 4 overall pick, I mean, that's pretty high. Could have done it then, or you could have spent the capital at 4 in a different way, or you could have. Didn't they have a chance to pick up the Bears quarterback in the original draft? They picked in that right in that spot. They picked Drake London instead of a quarterback last year.
No. Last year there was nobody. No, Drake came out when we took Dez. Kenny Pickett went in the first round, right? Kenny Pickett literally was the only first round. Nobody went in the second round. Dez was the second quarterback taken, which was the third round. It was a dead quarterback round.
Yeah, you're
draft.
Right. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's again, like we watch CJ. I mean, I don't know. It's so hard to know. And Kyler went number one. I mean, that's the thing. If you're going to get one of these super, I mean, Zach Wilson went 2 overall. And although he looked, I was actually happy for him last night. Talk about the psyche, the pressure. Everybody hates you.
Right. Yes.
And you're in New York. I mean, that is actually played well last night. So maybe
he's kind of winning me over. Like, I mean, there's some things about him that are unlikable, but I think he's, like you said, he's in these super bright lights when everyone's being so negative about you to hang in there. And it's pretty impressive.
I don't know how these guys, like the Joshua Dobbs of the world, like finally gets a chance and goes to, it looked like they're taking him just to tank. And Arizona is now putting up a fight. He actually looks good. He's a nice guy. He's a smart guy. You're like super happy he's getting a chance. Didn't expect that. As soon as they made that trade, you're like, you're trading for a guy who needs to start next week who's never been there before. Like that isn't, you know, again, all these garbage teams that I thought were going to be garbage. When we decided to go to the Arizona Falcons game, again, another one where like, oh, Arizona might have won one game by then. You sure as hell didn't have them beating Dallas in Dallas last week. You
know? Right. And being competitive in all the other games. And yeah, no, certainly didn't. How funny is that story about that quarterback going to get his own jersey and it wasn't available at the team shop? Did you see that?
Yes. Yeah.
By the way, I want to complain about the NFL shop too. I was going to go buy a jersey that said Bijanimopoulos on it.
Too many letters.
There's a 12 letter max.
I tried Economopolis. You can't fit it on there.
Try to keep a Greek man down. It's bullshit, man. Now you can get a t-shirt with 14 letters on the back.
Oh.
But still doesn't fit Bijanimopolis.
Bijanimopolis. It's a ridiculous name.
He's fun to watch, man.
I worry that we're going to waste his best years.
I mean, know.
Even yesterday when we looked horrible, they throw him a couple screens and he just leaves the guys in their dust. Oh. It is fantastic to watch. And he's smiley and he always says the right things. I'm starting to wonder. Yeah, I just hope we don't piss it all away to where Kyle Pitts wants to trade and Drake London wants to trade. The guys who actually,
right?
Because they're really good. I mean, Drake London for sure. Pitts, I'm not. I actually don't know if he's still not banged up. He doesn't. There wasn't any separation yesterday. Last week he missed him on a wide open touchdown. This week he threw to him like two times and there's a guy right on his back for being the unicorn who runs a 4.3 and is bigger and has a 7-foot wingspan. I haven't seen you be really perfectly open. But again, right. Nobody's, you know, I don't know.
He's understandably hiding the quarterback, right? That's not the game they're playing. So we won't know for another year. It's so crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
But all these teams, I mean, there's how many teams have a backup who's better than our quarterback, than our starter? It's at least 15.
You think?
I do. When you start, if I don't have a list, but if we had one, we could just go through and go, yeah, Gardner Minshew's better than he is. So there's got to be at least 10 of those guys.
Yeah, you're probably right. Gardner, definitely. Zach Wilson, definitely.
Right.
I mean, when we signed Heinicke at the time, I thought he's probably one of the best backups in the league. And I still probably think that. So there's a pretty good chance they go off of Dez and by, you know, November 1st, they're like, okay, thanks for your time.
Right.
You know, and then maybe he reinvents himself somewhere else. I don't know. The NFL quarterback position, there's nothing harder on the planet. And you see, you know, Baker was the number overall pick. And you see people who get a change in landscape, and then all of a sudden, all those extra years. I mean, Tannehill, I think that's what's happened, right? He's like Arthur Smith struck gold kind of reinventing Tannehill's career because he was a Titan.
Right.
And he turned what everybody thought was a bust into – a playoff team year in, year out.
Right. Now, with a good running back and a good defense. Right.
Exactly. So I think that was kind of the idea. And I don't think any of these guys have been up to Tannehill when Tannehill was actually, you know, playing well. And then yesterday, because I thought Tennessee was dead. And then yesterday they win a big game. It's the NFL is crazy.
it really is crazy. The swings are nuts. You forget that. Like, you know, in college, in some ways, it's a little bit more predictable because you get these giant programs that get to beat up on the, you know, Alabama School for the Blind every week, and that team never wins. In the NFL, I mean, even the worst team is still 53 professional football players.
You know? Yeah. It's like they always say, the difference between the worst and the best is like a little itty bitty, 100% not true in college. You know, the fifth string guy for Georgia is better than whatever, the first string guy at a lot of schools, whatever.
Yeah, that's true. If you see, I went to see a Purdue game one time, and in that situation, the Purdue team was the much better program. It was some tiny school from somewhere. And when you watch it live, they look like they're different species. Like the Purdue guys were so much bigger and faster and stronger than any of the other players. And it was never close, right? And of course, the Purdue guys compared to the Georgia guys would have the same sort of like,
right? Yeah.
I mean, they're the biggest, fastest, strongest athletes in the country.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, let's do a couple segments here. Quick plugs for the – I got some good gigs coming up. I'm doing Clarksville, Tennessee, and Muscle Shoals, Alabama soon. I very rarely get to go to the South. So it's about the only two Bob and Tom markets that are in the South. There's Charleston, South Carolina. There's a couple, but there aren't many. Then I'm headed to Wisconsin. I'm doing Janesville, Oshkosh, Eau Claire. Then I'm going to Fargo and Sioux Falls a couple of weeks after that. I'm knowing Ashtabula and Erie and Bloomington, Illinois is on the calendar for March. So go to Kostocki.com and find all that stuff. Underdogfantasy.com. If you type in the code ALLPROLINES, they'll match your first deposit up to $100. I'm loving that. I love best ball. I get to check my teams and what they're doing. Every once in a while, I win $10 on some crazy thing. And it's fun, man. All right, let's do a segment here. Taps on the back. Taps on the back. Taps on the back. Jerry Oliver asked a question of you, Andreas. Do you crave more beer now since the transplant?
I guess the answer is yes. And a quick sec. So the Mango Cart, they have that at the airport on tap and the Sky Club.
In Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it made it. This is a good beer. I totally see why it's blowing up.
I have started to fade IPAs and go heavier wheat beers. Mm. You feel 100 times better the next day.
Yeah, that's right.
Pro tip.
Pro tip. All right. My kudos go to the Buffalo Bills. They had a horrific first week, and they've quietly been completely crushing teams, including the bell of the ball this week, the Miami Dolphins. Everyone was anointing them the kings of the NFL. Whoops. They beat them 48-20. First of all, you held the Dolphins, maybe the scariest offense we've seen in a while, to 20 points. Completely shut down Tyreek Hill, relatively speaking. And then you scored 48 points. Like, that team's good. And I think they have restaked the claim of playoffs coming this way, boys. We'll see. We'll see. But they look good now. So
you actually took mine. We did not talk about this. Mine was going to be Josh Allen.
Oh, wow. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Josh Allen had 5 touchdowns, 84% completion percentage. And the Jaguars, Josh Allen had 3 sacks against the Falcons. But
that's a fun Josh Allen.
But since you went Buffalo Bills, I'll go with my favorite Samoan wide receiver with the walk-off touchdown, Puka Nacua.
Oh, this kid.
Oof. Have you seen the stats now? So
it's crazy.
He has broken the most yards for the first 4 games. But here's an interesting one. The top 2 receivers yards-wise of all time, do you know who they are?
In the first few games, or you mean forever?
No, forever. For single season.
Oh, single season?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be Calvin Johnson?
Yes, he's number 2.
Okay. Single season. Oh. Yep. Oh, wait, what? I remember Calvin was chasing somebody at the time. It was
recent. He's just going to come back.
Oh, it's more recent?
He plays for the Rams, and he's going to come back soon.
Oh, okay. Cooper Kupp. Okay.
Okay, so, and now we have Puka Nacua, who's actually got more yards in the first 4 games than either of them did. What's the common denominator here?
Matt Stafford. He still looks good, man. Good for him.
I'm surprised. That's another team I left for dead. I just can't believe it.
And how, I mean, I listen to so many like nerdy football podcasts in the off season to kind of like when I need a little like distraction from the world. No one's talked about Puka Nacua anywhere.
No.
It completely came out of the blue.
No, and it's my two dynasty. One of my dynasty leagues, the very first week, somebody spent like almost all their fab money. And I just chuckled and went, what are you doing? Like, it was the first year we formed that dynasty league. And like, I'm so mad I didn't do that.
Yeah, now he looks, I mean, these things change. That's what makes dynasty fun. But right now, he looks like you got a good wide receiver for 10 years.
Right, exactly. Fifth round pick too. Yeah, you just never know.
There's some other crazy stat. Like, I think he's at 39 catches in his first 4 games, which is 9 more than the record. Like, he's he didn't break the record. He's crushing the records.
It's crazy. It's a perfect storm though, right? Because their best
starter's
receiver.
Out.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And Tutu Atwell is also like a rookie, you know?
Yeah. So. Right. But yeah, I mean, he didn't make any of the top 12 lists of rookie wideouts in any of the nerd football things that I've been listening to.
No, not at all.
And some of the rookies are just not making a dent at all so far. And I have most of them in different leagues, you know, because I like these kind of young guys. Because once in a while, like you said, they blow up and then you kind of have an asset for a while.
You had Jamar Chase you kept him.
That's true. But I also have Garrett Wilson. And, you know, I got a bunch of these guys who are – and Jamar and Garrett both – are being destroyed fantasy-wise by their quarterbacks right now. Like, right. It's such a weird problem. And, you know, like, oh, one of them went away, and the other one is gimpy and can't do what he normally does. So it goes. All right, let's go. We didn't do this. Oh, shit, I didn't prepare for this one. You want to just wing it? Let's do this.
But now it's time for which comes first. Oh, yes, it's time for which comes first. Now tell me, will this happen before that happens? It's time for which comes first.
All right, which comes first? I get my $1,500 back from a scam rental car company, or Taylor Heinicke is a starter for the Atlanta Falcons?
Oh, Heinicke, 100%.
Fuck! Yeah. I've already contacted the Better Business Bureau. I have already complained about them to Orbitz. I already initiated a block with Amex. And if I need to, I'm going to wear a sandwich board and pace around in front of their lot and pass out flyers to their incoming customers. I am not going to put up with this shit.
Please take a picture of you with a sandwich board. That's all I want. That's such a great image.
Okay, change the question. If we're going to see Heinicke, when is it? It's 2, 3, 4 weeks, you think?
Yeah, week nine.
But they're going to do this same shit where they're going to be vaguely relevant for another 2 months.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be the exact same situation as last year. And then, but I think you know now. You 100% know now. I don't think you knew last year. I don't think they knew. I think he's one of those guys that probably looks pretty good in practice. And I guess, right? I mean, you have
it
to.
It must be. It's the only explanation.
There has to be a pile of people who really look good in practice. You put them under the big lights, and they can't. They're just deer in headlights. And there has to be people who, the opposite, yep. Right? Who actually probably mail it in a little bit of practice, and then, hey, I just want to play a game. We're talking about a practice, and they put them out there, and they just ball out, and you're like, okay. I mean, like Julio is like the perfect example. The guy never practiced. And it used to drive me crazy. Like in his peak, it was like Julio's out. It was like, is he going to play? And then right. he would Sunday lace him up and yep. pop off for 100 every single Sunday, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Peak Julio was really good, man. Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
Josh would disagree. Josh only wants Dan Marino in the Hall of Fame.
I know. Josh is a tough grader on that front. We did a whole segment with Josh, and he was we agreed on most of the things though.
It's literally Larry Fitzgerald because he went to Pitt and and Dan Marino. That's it. That's all.
Bunch of Steelers. Yeah.
Oh, he's so torn on Hines Ward because he hates UGA so bad.
Hey, I played a poker room in Redding, California, way northern California this weekend. And when I cashed out, the guy in the cage looked at my hat and goes, University of Georgia, we don't get a lot of that up here. And I go, yeah, how about them dogs? And he goes, I went to Georgia Tech. And I was like, wait, what?
Oh, that is great. Wait, what was he doing there?
He was working there. I mean, I don't know. I didn't disparage the man by saying, what happened to your engineering degree? I was slinking out of there after losing some money. I flopped a set of sevens against a set of aces and lost my whole stack. So I didn't feel too chatty when I was leaving.
Oh, it's the worst.
I was like, can you give me the scraps left of my wallet so I can go home now?
No wonder you've been in a bad mood today.
I know. Yeah. couple strikes. All right, let's do this.
All right, kids, put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
All right. Yesterday, Drake London scored in London. How many times has this happened in the NFL? A player with the last name scores in the city that he's in.
Wow. What?
I know. Again, like most of our quizzes, we don't expect you to know this shit. I just find it interesting to talk about.
There was a receiver last name Houston, right?
I'm trying to think. According to my list, not a receiver, but a Houston has scored in Houston.
Oh, he was the defensive end, right?
Yes.
Justin Houston?
This is impressive that you're even close on this. Defensive tackle Lamar Houston.
Oh, okay.
Scored in Houston in 2017. He's one of the answers.
Gosh, what a random.
I know.
How did you even look this up?
I found it by accident. I saw it when I was looking for some stories to write jokes about. I stumbled onto this thing. Somebody like wrote it in as a question and some stat nerd looked it up.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to go. We're not including Drake.
Either way, whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
Drake,
Houston, and two more. So four total.
Okay. According to this, Drake London is the sixth player who has scored in a TD in a city that matches their last name. We have Lamar Houston, okay, scored in Houston in 2017, a defensive touchdown. We have Ken Houston, who was a defensive back who scored a pick six in the Astrodome in 1971.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And then we have three guys named Washington who scored touchdowns in D.C.
Okay.
Rams halfback Kenny Washington in 1958. Cowboys kick returner Mark Washington at RFK Stadium in 1970. And Washington running back Joe Washington at RFK in 1984. How's that for a bunch of weird facts?
That is some strange. That's going to be what, once a decade that happens?
I guess it's even less because this goes back to, 1958.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
And it's basically only two names plus London. I thought there'd be a couple of obscure ones. They're like, oh, I didn't even think of that. That's also a guy's name. There's a lot of cities that could be a guy's last name.
Jimmy St. Louis wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, ever? I don't know. It's basically just Houston and Washington. And now London. I think Drake's a legit, wide receiver star. I think he's a star in the making. He's just got to wait for the right system around him. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why we play the game. You're a good man to do this. What's the score? Are you watching?
Yeah, it was 14-3 Seahawks a minute ago. So my prediction was it's hard to watch the Giants. Every time I think they're gonna be I don't understand, like I'm on the Manning and they're trying to be polite about it, but it's for them. It's hard for them to watch too. Yeah, and so they're in a weird situation, right? So they pay Danny Dimes. It's 40 base. So he gets $40 million a year.
Right.
And granted, Saquon's out. Saquon gets a fourth of that. He'll come back.
Right.
They don't really have great receivers. They drafted Jalen Hyatt. Hasn't really done much so far. Still early on.
Early yet, yeah. But that's the thing. I mean, this is of course, the warning to teams like the Falcons, because what you could do is spend a big pile of money for the 17th best quarterback in the world and still go nowhere, right? That's what the Giants did.
Right. But you don't, if you're them, you don't have a choice. You're completely, what would they do?
But this is why I'm complaining as a Falcons fan, because what they did was they did the thing that kept them from having Desmond Ridder starting for their team, right? They were like, we can't do that. We have to at least pay this guy. And the Falcons didn't do it that way.
I guess it depends. Do you want to be relevant or do you want to go deep in the playoffs slash win one? And you can only, in the last 20 years, the only quarterbacks who everybody's a star that's won, right? Other than maybe Nick Foles, who caught lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. Once a decade or so, there's a Brad Johnson type that ekes out a win in a Super Bowl that's not top 10.
And that was like a zillion years, you know, that everybody uses Trent Dilfer. That was 20 plus years ago. Brad Johnson, same thing.
Johnson and Trent Dilfer are the go-to examples. And then you're right. I think you could put Foles in that bucket, but Foles got there because the other guy got him. You know what I mean? That was a little bit of a lightning in a bottle for sure.
Yeah. He got hot for sure.
Right.
Flacco had like a ridiculous run. He was on the road that whole Super Bowl run.
The Jets should bring in Flacco tomorrow. I think he's he's a better quarterback than Zach Wilson. He proved it last year. I don't know why that's not even one of their choices.
But it's the same. But Flacco isn't the answer. You mean to stop gap until Aaron comes back?
Yeah, okay. Right. I mean, that's a different problem. What the Jets have is a different situation. They have a great team except for the one guy. The Falcons still have more to do. I'm just frustrated that they didn't spend some money on something.
I think what happens is when you draft somebody in the first round, which Dez was not, but like with Wilson, right? You have to decide, like Danny Dimes, they had to decide. They didn't pick up the fifth year option last year. They want to see what he did.
Right.
And he did well. So then you're going to sign him. So with Wilson, it's before you blink. If you bring in Joe Flacco this year, and then next year Aaron Rodgers plays, and then all of a sudden you have to decide whether to exercise the option. He still hasn't played. How do you know? I mean, these guys are, whatever, 23 years old, you know? I don't know. I mean, I know.
Yeah, I hear you. But I think you know. I think – and I'm an old guy, and I'm saying that. And I, you know, like, I think when greatness happens, it happens early. And you see it, and you know it, and it's in your bones. Like, when Mahomes played this that the very beginning, you're like, oh, shit, you know?
But we're talking about the top eight guys on the planet. I'm talking about.
I know, but there's only 32. That's what we're talking about. You've got to be in the top half of the 32 in order to go deep in the playoffs, in my opinion. Doesn't have to be top five, but you got to be top half if you're going to be a real Super Bowl contender.
Right.
And if you're not in the top half, then you need to be full-time scrambling with a plan to get into the top half. That's your job as the GM. It just feels like the Falcons are just like, we're going to build a team and then figure that out later. And maybe that works, but I 3 years in, I'm frustrated.
Yeah, I hear you. So what does Minnesota do next year since Ron's watching?
I think that's a great question. I don't know, because nobody has leveraged their level of talent to turn it into cash better than Kirk Cousins.
He's fantastic. I mean, honestly, he's so, I love watching him play.
He's the bottom of the range of quarterbacks you could win a Super Bowl with. So I think he's on the list. I think if you have to, you pay him one more year.
Yeah.
So I would. I mean, that's what I would do. But I understand, like, let's start over.
Yeah, he's 35. So everybody's stuck in the same spot, you know. And what do you do if somebody calls you and wants to deal Kyler Murray to you? Does anybody want him?
I want him. I don't care if I like him, as long as he's not like Deshaun Watson. I don't want him on my team because I think what he did was really deplorable. Kyler Murray's just like kind of a cocky asshole. I don't mind that. I can root for that. I'm okay with Kyler Murray.
You think a Kyler Murray could win a Super Bowl?
I do. So. I think when he's on, he's top 10 quarterbacks for sure. And he has flashes of top five. I think he's absolutely in that list.
You don't think there's these leadership qualities that, thinking back to all the guys who won the Super Bowl, it's like
definitely not plan A. I agree. Yeah. I don't want that attitude. I agree that he's a bit of a punk and probably a little vicious and not trying very hard and studying the film and leaning on his talent. And he's not Kirk Cousins. He's not going to outstudy you, but he's so much better than what we have. I want something different.
I'm with you. I'm sold.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we resolved that. Thanks for doing this, bro. I love you, man.
Of course. Love you too. Hey, keep me posted on. I'll let you know about Heineke. Please let me know about your 24/7 fight.
I'm making flyers. I'm going to give them bad Yelp reviews. Okay. I'm putting a dent in this fucking company.
All right. Let me ask you one serious question. Have you looked them up online and are there other bad reviews? There has to be, right?
I haven't yet, but I'll do that. And I'm 100%. I mean, I talked to one other customer and he was also getting fucked at the same time. Like his car died and they charged him $500 to come pick it up. It's their car that stopped running.
Mom, can you help us?
I'm going to have Andy Merriman write a strongly worded email.
It's nice to have friends like that. Thanks, Andy.
I love you, man. Thanks.
See you guys. Have a good evening.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We will talk to you in a week. Thank you.